Welcome to the M3 Podcast. Your journey to movement, mindset, and medicine starts here. Welcome back to another episode of the M3 Podcast. It's me, your host, Mermaid Bree, and I have my friend Reagan with me here, long hair swag.
Yeah.
Woo! I was going to say, you go by swaggy long hair on social media, right?
I go by long hair swag.
Oh, you? Okay, yeah, you're right.
So you know that, you know that. That's pretty much how people know me in our industry. Some people cut it down and just call me swag, but it's kind of funny how that all came about, you know?
I feel honored to be one of Swaggy's angels, by the way.
I love it.
I was thinking about this where you are, and I'm just going to jump right into it. Yeah. You're in the middle of co-hosting a mastermind right now. Mm-hmm. And I want to talk all about that, how yeah. important it is, especially for people who have a brick and mortar, a salon, studio setup, anything.
For sure.
That need to still have an online presence and still put themselves out there. That is one of the top ways of marketing right now. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned when you had our first haircut together, you're like, okay, you're going to be one of Swaggy's angels. And yeah. I've also thought, wow, what an influence of having somebody, whether it's affiliate marketing or having models or something that represents an image of your brand. And I went back to immediately thinking about Victoria's Secret Angels. Mm-hmm. So I am so thankful because I have a successful online business that I get to run because I feel like I have a coach who is representation of Victoria's Secret. We don't really know too many details about that ownership of it, mm-hmm. but everyone knows Victoria's Secret's angels.
Yeah.
So it's where people come up and they're like, oh my gosh, you're an angel. I want to train with you, right?
Totally.
Where somebody would say the same thing of, oh my gosh, you did someone's hair like this. I want that hair. I want to work with you.
1,000%. I think when people see something that you can do or transformation that you did, I think it really grabs that person's spirit and maybe they weren't finding the same type of results elsewhere. And I think when you can make somebody feel beautiful and look beautiful as well, then it just changes their whole confidence. You know? Mm-hmm. But as for the mastermind, that has been an amazing experience because I'm kind of an introvert. So typically, like, I'll stay to myself, I'll keep my ideas to myself. But there are times where we hit those blocks and we need other creative brains that are in the industry. Mm-hmm. And I think coming together and being able to do that just gives us more fuel to face the week. Because no matter what, it's like when people go out and they produce what they do, right? You, myself, it's never going to be the same to the next person. And when that next person does it, it's going to be their flair. It's going to be what they do. And I think we can all share the same ideas and have our own authentic way of putting it out.
Not a form of copy and paste, it's mm-hmm. get the inspiration and make it your own.
Yeah.
And that's where I think some people get confused between what's authentic and not, is if you're trying to be like he or she, it's never gonna work. But if you're gonna have your own flair to it, yeah. that makes sense too for me, is like figure out what you like about it, take what you want from that, and then make it your own. Yeah. And this mastermind that you are co-hosting, can you explain where it came from, what it's about, what are you teaching?
So the mastermind came about, I was on social media and there's this gentleman named Todd Collins and he just kept coming across my screen. I started to watch him, realized that he had a different perspective mm-hmm. on social and I loved it. I feel like our industry can sometimes just be so much hair that we lose the idea that it's social media and not hairstylist media. Mm. So we get into this trend of who's posting the most beautiful hair. And it's like always hard to put a number on that because everyone's style, their look is so different. It's like comparing two great pieces of art from two different artists and putting a grade on it. It's really gonna speak to the person who's looking at it, right? So Todd Collins pops up, I'm watching his videos and I'm just going on there and I'm doing what I think a lot of us do is we go in and engage, right? Whether we're throwing hearts at it or flames. But I started to go on there and started to comment because what he was saying was actually reaching me on a level where I can implement it. And it was surface. It was tip of the iceberg kind of stuff. And I was able to even take those little things and put it toward what I was doing and I was mm-hmm. seeing the growth. Not that long after that, he reached out to me and said, hey, we should put together a mastermind. And I was like, I'm totally here for it. Not sure what this includes, but as I was able to speak to him more, he was going to tell me that I will be able to help you and help people you know in the industry just get a different look at what you're doing, mm-hmm. share some ideas, and be able to actually reach not just a hairstylist audience, but an audience of all people. And I think that in our industry, we tend to push stuff out so that we can get our peers to see what we're doing. Mm-hmm. But it's so much bigger than that. The untapped audience are not hairdressers. And therefore, we need to be able to expand and change what we're doing so that our message comes across a little bit differently.
Because are you marketing to other hairstylists or are you marketing to the clients?
Right.
Yeah.
And there's both.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say, because I love watching what you do as a trainer. And there is always a trainer out there who needs to learn more about what they're doing. And there's always a client out there who needs to understand how they can take what you're doing mm-hmm. and get your results, but implement it into their life, whether they have kids or two jobs or whatever it might be.
Yes.
So it's like, we got to get out there and push our message in different types of verbiage in order for people to receive it.
So what does it look like, the map out of this mastermind? How long is it? Yeah. What does the course entail?
The mastermind's an hour. It's one day a week. We have full access to Todd Collins. So text, DM, however we need to reach him, and for whatever ideas we have. The details kind of go into all of us getting together, and he breaks it up by looking at each person's Instagram and says, okay, this is what you're doing. I see you're posting one time a week, but you want this growth, not going to work, right? Also looking at it from a standpoint of how many platforms are you reaching out to? Mm-hmm. How big is your net? Right now you have Snap, you have LinkedIn, you have Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, YouTube, Shorts. You have such a wide variety of places that you can spread your net, spread your message.
Yeah.
But so often we're tied to one because the beauty of the platform. That's what ties me in. When I look at Instagram, it's really clean.
Yes.
So we meet one time a week. There is a cost to it. That was something that I wanted to be upfront with and not give people a perception that it was just going to be a free group, because it is a gentleman who has his own media company. He's been doing this for a long time. He has a track record. That was something that really attracted me, was I saw him on TikTok and I seen him go from hundreds to 100,000. And I watched it grow organically and I see his production. And I noticed that so often we want to grow, we want to do all the same stuff, but the volume is low. So learning from what he has experience-wise has been something that I think pushes us every single week, Monday to Monday. We always need a little bit of a spark Monday to Monday. I'm motivated. I love getting out there, putting myself out there and putting myself on a limb. But there are some times where we hit these roadblocks where I'm like, can I find something that's going to inspire me to keep this message, even though it seems like the social world hasn't picked it up yet? And that for me is why I show up every Monday, no matter what.
It's like taking attendance when you're in school or going to the office and actually stepping into that virtual platform mm-hmm. as if you were to step into the office space. And we think that we're supposed to get all these results just by doing something every so often, or we just expect right. all these followers to come to us. But followers want something to follow.
Totally.
They want content. There's people out there that just want to scroll and view and see what's out mm-hmm. in the world, and also to learn from it, to be entertained by it. So we need something that's education-based, attention-grabbing, educational, funny, if we have that entertainment from it. But we want relatability. We want to connect ourselves to the person that we're watching. That's why we like the superstars we like on TVs. We attach ourselves to the sitcoms or the TV series that we know represent a similar part of our own lives. And I think of it as you go and you show up once a week, if you're going Monday to whichever, that's your dedication and time in to put in the work. And I think of it as just as much as working online, where now I'm actually leading a mentorship group as well.
I love it.
Where these people are an amazing group. I have past clients, current clients, people I've met throughout the years, training them or other ways I've been able to connect, get on a call, talk to them, help with them, like the current part of their life. Hey, I'm in-person training. I need to do this. What do? How do you shift it? How do you change your contracts? And one of the biggest things that I saw on the very first call talking about personal branding is they're like, you very much represent and know who you are. Mm-hmm. Mermaids all over this house, right?
Right.
And you see the brand, you represent it very well. And then they even talk about the way you show up on social media. And I even heard this from you, which is a huge compliment. But they're like, the way you show up on social media, that is, you do a really good job. You give the audience something to look forward to. And it's educational, funny, right? All of that. But then I hear the very common thing, which I have a feeling you do hear this as well, is, but I don't really like social media. I don't want to show up. I don't want to share parts of my world like this, right? Mm-hmm. Do you think I want to as well? I know that it's not easy. I know there's a time and a place for it. But what I just did yesterday as an example is I spent an amazing day with one of my childhood best friends who I've known for almost 30 years. And that best friend and I were so present with each other. Were there times where I took out my phone and took a little clip? Yes. But I've told you this before, that I will be present now, blog, whatever it is, take the content now, but post it later. Be present in the moment, not worried about spending the time constantly getting onto Instagram. I'll go on 2 or 3 times a day, and I'll just put everything, like I already did this morning. I put out everything for the morning, good to go.
Yep.
I'll do something probably in the afternoon, and then again in the evening, maybe so. And it doesn't make me feel like I need to keep opening my phone and clicking that app as soon as I open it. And it's also just reminding people, is sit and just document what's going on with your life. People want to know what you're doing, not just that you cut hair or not just that you train clients online, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. More than ever.
But do show that as well, because people also, if they're going to buy a service or a product from you, mm-hmm. they need to know how that service and product works and understand it.
Yeah, 1,000%. I feel like that is what showing up is.
Mm.
It's showing that I'm a parent. It's showing that I'm also a husband. So what does it look like for the parents out there or the person who is in a relationship where they're all around you all the time, right? Sometimes I'm holding my son and he's wiggling out of my arms and I'm trying to book a client, right? That's very real for a lot of people out there who are also doing the same thing. So how can people know or stand with me on something or say, I can resonate with that unless I show it?
Mm-hmm.
Right? I can't just look like a stylist 24/7 and not show what's happening in real life. And that's something that I'm working on all the time, which is why I love what I see on your stories.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Tell me, how do you show up online?
I'll tell you what my biggest struggle is. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's people out there who can probably relate to this, is there are moments where I might shoot something, a video of myself, and I'm like, it's gotta be done 10 times over, right? But I think the authenticity of it is actually doing it once,
mm.
maybe twice to have a more clear message.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that people who can do it and know that they're not judging themselves along the way and they're just being free flowing with it is such a great space to be. That's something that I'm personally working on. How I show up is showing people the journey of where I started to where I'm going. That's been my message within the last year is, hey, look, if I was here and now I'm here, you can fall back on that and know that it can happen for you too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm coming more so out of a place of encouragement because I really want to build people up right now. And I feel like our industry could use it because there's so many silent voices. We're looking up at everyone who's doing great with the brands, doing the things. Last year, I was able to join a brand. And I can tell you that it requires more of your time, more of your energy, more of your attention. But it doesn't necessarily change how you feel about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I think your progression always stems from your commitments to what you say you're going to do. And when I'm progressing the way I should, I feel amazing. And I know that what I'm doing is my dailies. I'm reading 10 minutes a day. I'm taking time to pray. I'm meditating. I'm showing up to work. Everything looks great. The hair, we're pumping it out. People are leaving happy. I'm getting home. I'm spending time with my family. I'm posting. And then I'm finishing off the day with either reading or a podcast, listening to something that's going to feed my mind. I have to always go back to that. And when my routine is that and it's consistent, then I'm ready to take on the world.
Fuck yeah. So you just mentioned little things like if your son is wiggling and you're trying to do work. As an entrepreneur, I see the common theme. And I'm not saying that every single entrepreneur has to go through this life. Mm-hmm. But I feel like you and I, right off the bat, we bonded so well over talking about our chaos of life growing up.
Totally.
And we can handle the chaos and doing things like meditation, reading, spending time with family, showing up in those ways.
reminds you of who you are at your core to bring peace of mind into your life. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I really value on is how can I find small moments throughout the day that give me peace of mind to remind me that I'm okay, everything's okay, despite all the chaos, especially as a business owner.
Absolutely.
How do you handle the chaos? And let's talk about what chaos was like for you growing up, because that was a crazy story.
I want to say that handling chaos really comes down to how much you can handle, but the environments that you've been in, mm-hmm. right? Growing up, we were middle class, but we were teetering between mid and low. When I was young, I want to say fourth grade is probably as far back as I can go, until we started to flow into this state of turbulence in our life. And fourth grade, I remember we had a house, everything was good. My best friend lived across the street. It was pizza like every other night with the neighbors. And this was like that fun moment of life, aside from what was happening with my parents. They tend to love each other like no other, but they bumped heads like crazy. Mm-hmm. Partially because my dad was using certain drugs and they took control of his character. Mm-hmm. Moving forward, we got to a place where things got so bad, we didn't really understand the whole work thing, being that young, but things got so bad that we ended up having to move into a tent. My mom was in her 30s, mm-hmm. right? I'm in my 30s now, and I could not imagine moving into a tent with three kids and being pregnant to one. So this is another thing about that age, is you don't realize and recognize how low it is. You are taking in all this information. And if your parents can do a great job loving you and still giving you the world, then it still seems to be okay. But nonetheless, your subconscious mind is being programmed. Mm-hmm. So we're living in this tent, we're coming in and out of it. And this was just life. We're living on my grandmother's 5-acre farm. And there wasn't a moment where people were wanting to, hey, let's come live with us. Mm-hmm. This is okay. You guys are gonna make it. My mom was kind of on her own. My dad was trying to figure things out, but he was still like in his own world. So there was a shack on this farm and my dad ended up taking everything out of it. And it was four walls. Cleared it out, made it a home. And I mean, when I say made it a home, I'm saying it was two doors and blankets on the ground, you know? What I took away from all this and the experiences of life that came even many, many, many years after it is that I know a low point. And to me, that's a solid motivator. Mm-hmm. It's a perspective that I don't want my kids to ever see or experience. I think that there's other ways that they can grow. But what I took from it was I can endure some things that aren't shiny, aren't pretty, but I can go and get those things. And that to me was one of the greatest things to ever happen, as low as those moments were, because we were able to eat off the land, luckily enough, being in Hawaii, understanding how that goes, making a fire, cooking fresh fish. To me, that was poverty to a lot of people when you're fishing for your food or you're just eating it off the land because that's all you have.
That sounds like a dream to me.
It's a dream to me now though, right? But at the moment, you're trying to figure it out and it's just a low vibration and you take away from those things and you say, okay, I see where the bar was set. I need to exceed that. And that's been one of my greatest motivators. And I think when my parents look at me, they're just like, well, he's like always on the go. He's going, doing, they're proud. And I couldn't be happier to be their son, so.
And the chaos in your current life now, how do you, what's that like?
Yeah, chaos in my current life.
I'm a husband, amazing, all of it, yes.
Yeah, I'm a dad, I'm a husband, and I'm blessed because my wife can take care of the home front. Mm. I want to say that when it comes down to work and life, there's a very thin line to consider a balance, because it's not the days of doing hair and leaving it in the salon like it was 15 some years ago, maybe. It's you do the hair, you take the pictures, you gather the videos, you put it together, you cut it up, chop it up, and you post it. In those moments that you're doing that, typically it's after work and it's right in the midst of getting home, saying hello, trying to give the attention to the 2-year-old, making sure that the 11-year-old's good, you know, mm-hmm. and then giving my wife anything that I have left. Mm-hmm. And half the time it's, hey, babe, I just have to post this and I have to get through this or I'm not going to stop thinking about it. Mm-hmm. And we've developed a communication because before it was, I got to do this, so just leave me alone. I don't know how to communicate that this is very important. It's what's keeping the food on the table, keeping the clients coming in the door, and it's attracting more people to us. Mm-hmm. So we had to create that communication of just talking through it, saying, hey, babe, give me 1 hour. I'm going to do this. And as soon as that's done, my phone's going down. It's all attention on you guys. It's dinner. Whatever you guys want to do, I'm yours, full attention. And that's a hard skill to learn sometimes.
Yes.
When you have things in your life that are very important, even though it's not important as the people right in front of you.
And I think about, you mentioned posting and sharing the photos and having that image again, the presence online. Mm-hmm. But what about all the scheduling and rebooking and people are wanting to change and cancel and do all this? And it's usually in the evening before the next day, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It comes at all points of the day.
All points of the day.
I have an amazing assistant.
Yeah, she's amazing.
She is amazing. Yes. And she is such a hand when we're working together and there's things going on. She's always willing to take a lot of the load on herself. Mm-hmm. But we share the responsibility of booking clients, getting back to them, stuff like that. So when it comes down to that, sometimes I'll be in the middle of feeding my kids or changing a diaper even. Mm-hmm. And bing, I get a message. And instantaneously, to me, I'm like, I got to do that, right? And I think that part of it is just being self-aware. That can happen. It's going to happen. Do what you have to do. But so often, I'm a fast responder. So if I see someone text, it's almost like no matter what I'm doing, I have to get back to them right away. And that's also something I'm learning to take control of because I don't want it to own me spiritually, mentally. My capacity is only so big. So I've learned that if I see a message first thing in the morning, I'm not actually going to respond to it until I'm mentally ready because you don't know what kind of message it is. And you have to be ready to absorb the emotion that comes with that. So the chaos is all times. It is midday, morning, evening. I think that for me, I've learned to prioritize it and I'm still working on that today.
That's a mental boundary that mm-hmm. you've created too. And that becomes calloused over time because I was the same way. It's like, I need to respond while driving or something, right?
Driving, yeah.
You're compromising your own safety
totally.
For these things. I also notice a lot of entrepreneurs have the same feeling around guilt. Mm-hmm. If you're at work, you feel guilty of not spending time with your family. If you're with family, you're feeling guilty about not spending enough time working mm-hmm. and having the balance of both. Do you ever experience that guilt?
A lot of the time.
Yeah.
A lot of the time. I want to say somebody that I've listened to for a very long time. I considered him my mentor, never met him. His name's Jim Rohn. Mm-hmm. He said, when you're at the beach, be at the beach. When you're at work, be at work.
Yep.
And as simple as that sounds, it can be very hard if you're not self-aware of, I'm at the beach today. Aside from whatever's happening in the hair world, I have to be here. And when I'm at work, I can't be feeding the kids.
Yeah.
When I'm doing work things, I have to be doing work stuff. That separation is key.
I agree with also the list of priorities that come with that. So we feel guilty because we have priorities. Mm-hmm. They can still line up very similarly. And if you have priorities regarding your personal life, and I think this is so much more easily said than done, is we can't feel guilty about our priorities. Your priorities are different than mine.
Yeah.
And you can't feel guilty about yours. I can't feel guilty about mine. But I've learned this from a person I actually went and saw speak back in 2019, I think, Brendan Burchard. He mm-hmm. does a lot of online space motivational speaking. And he mentions this to the creator of Boss Babes, is one of his clients. And so she's like, I'm a 3-month-old. I'm breaking down. I'm crying. And I don't know what to do. And I feel like I should be working more. I feel like I should be doing X, Y, and Z, right? And he goes, prioritize your work around your life. Don't prioritize your life around your work.
Yeah.
And don't feel guilty for those priorities as well. I love that saying. I'm like, okay, that's the guilt right there.
Absolutely. I think it's scheduling. Have you ever heard of that analogy about the jar?
Yeah.
I love that,
yeah.
Right? Big jar, important things. Mm-hmm. Medium pebbles, things that surround your life, but not your family and the important stuff. And then the sand over the top is just anything that is just miscellaneous stuff. But that, to me, is the perfect example.
And if you don't take care of the bottom rocks, guess what's sifted through?
Absolutely.
The sand.
Yep. Absolutely.
So you transitioning back into hairstyling, education, leading this mastermind, I think, is amazing to be able to co-host that as well. But you've also had opportunities to speak up in front of a lot of people, mm-hmm. do some motivational speaking, and you've led workshops. You've been a part of the education process of it. Mm-hmm. You also said earlier to me, it's great to see you educating yourself and continuing to learn. I didn't just go to get a master's degree and say, okay, I'm the best trainer in the world. Come to me.
Right.
It's still a constant. I still have somebody who I go fly out, see, ask, teach me new exercises. Mm-hmm. I want to learn new things. I want to understand what is the biology, the science, the makeup of this. Why do we do the things we do when it comes to our physicality? You have the same thing when it comes to chemicals. Mm-hmm. You're doing chemistry every day in the salon.
Totally.
And to be a chemist, that comes with education, that's science-based. Mm-hmm. So how is it, and why do you believe that it's so important for people to still step back in and educate themselves? And what is it like for you? What have you spoken about too?
For sure. I think part of that is staying inspired.
Ooh.
In our industry, we can really be on a hamster wheel and not know it. And by the time you know it, you're just losing your flame for excitement.
Mm-hmm.
You feel like you've been doing the same thing over and over. People are coming in day after day now with inspo from Pinterest, Instagram, TikTok. I saw this color. And for me personally, one of the hardest things I have is saying no. So if someone comes to me in there, I want cowboy copper, right? It's going to become a priority to go take that class from somebody who can nail that color. It's also going to be a priority to then take models. It's also going to be a priority to actually figure it out. And figuring it out is the hardest part, because mm-hmm. not all hair will lift the same. There are the basic principles and foundations of, if this happens, you can do this. But nonetheless, figuring it out means it's trial and error.
Mm-hmm.
So is it always going to be that? Can it be? Sure. But you're still figuring it out. So things are going to get messed up, if I'm really cutting to the real answer. You know, you're going to have those hiccups and mistakes where someone's going to be like, this wasn't the vibe.
And that's the whole essence behind getting trained and understanding it. But also, your skills are tied to your income. And your skills are also tied to who's coming to see you.
Mm-hmm.
Your value, what you can bring to the table. If everyone around you is doing a specialty look, a specialty highlight, and there's more income tied to that because of the steps taken, the longevity of how long the hair grows out before that person needs to be seen again, those things are valuable.
Mm-hmm.
If you're still doing a highlight from 10, 12 years ago, and it doesn't grow out well, but the person that's getting it done looks around and says, all my friends have this beautiful lived-in hair, it grows out nice, it's seamless, it's great, then that person's gonna look elsewhere.
Yes.
And it's a hard reality, but it's also a price you pay when you're not getting trained, because it's essential.
So my stepdad, growing up, he had this sign in his house, and I love this because it made me pop up. The flash of the image was right there, and
he
had it hung up right outside the bathroom in the hallway. And I think that was his reminder, because the garage door was on the other side. So before he left, he looked at it every day. And it said, if you don't take care of your clients, someone else will.
Yeah. 1,000%. And that's one thing I can say I'm super blessed by, is I have clients that are with me today that were with me when I first moved here.
Mm.
So that's 5 years ago.
Yeah.
It's, you know, having that client retention is very important. And it's times that it's those people most that want to feel a new vibe for them, and they want to experience a new look or a new treatment in the salon. And keeping them excited is the thing you need to work the hardest at. Because the new person is going to come in, they're going to get a great look. They're going to feel a certain way. And it's maybe something that they haven't gotten before.
Ironic, because I just met you on the beach with your wife, which was amazing. What a great coincidence.
Yeah.
I had no idea. I found you on the Explore page and saw that you were a blonding specialist, and that I was like, man, this person has an amazing profile.
They
show up really well on social media. You got the swag. That's your brand. Like,
yeah.
It's
perfect. And so I was like, I want hair from this person. You're like, hey, we've already met. And I was like, yeah. Oh my gosh. So what do people know you for? I know blogging is definitely in there, which is amazing. Yeah. I feel like maybe even extensions. What is it? Biological. I'm like, what are all the things?
I want to say blonding.
Yes.
Lived in mm-hmm. color, dimensional mm-hmm. brunettes. Mm-hmm. I was really hyper-focused at one point on taking my clients who are really blonde or over blonde and putting depth back in their hair so they can look more lived in.
Like me.
And there was some trial and error in the beginning, and there were some things that were overdone that happened to be liked by the person getting it. So it worked out in my favor. But each time I did it, I picked something from it. I was like, okay, this is what happened. Oh, that was too blended. Now it just meshed all together and it's one color of who knows what. So you learn along the way. I want to say that these techniques and stuff that we're learning are sometimes created by people who have been in the industry longer and they've had the same thing happen. I'm going to place something here and find out what that does. Mm-hmm. And we can all have that ability, but it's typically going to be on your time when you're not behind the chair putting out consistent work for someone that's been with you for a long time. Your time away from the chair where you can really experiment, taking a model or working on a mannequin is really where you're going to thrive.
Agreed. I love this. Just trial and error. You really don't know until you try. You mentioned this earlier about your journey and that you want to show up on social media in your brick and mortar with the journey that you're going through that's going to get you to where you want to be. What does the journey look like and where do you want to be?
I love that. The journey right now is to get my salon doors open.
I know, I've been in it.
Yeah.
I was like waiting for this.
The journey first is to get the salon doors open. Mm-hmm. From there, I think the possibilities are really endless. Mm-hmm. I think that there's going to be a push and an energy for a lot of people stepping in the room or people that are also joining the team. Number one, I want to speak more. That's something that I posted not that long ago because it invigorates me. I hated it as a child. My mom would make us speak all the time. Mm-hmm. But I want to say that it's that growth point that I'm looking for. I'm looking for the scariest thing and attacking it. That's been my whole journey. That's been my whole journey of development. That's been my whole journey as an artist, is what is it that I'm afraid to do and I want to go after it. Speaking is one of them. Educating more, which I can do out of my space. Mm-hmm. I'm excited about that. I am in the process of putting together a shadowing program, which I'm super excited about because it's that part of me that wants to also give to the industry and see people grow and thrive, but it also creates community and culture, mm-hmm. right? Even if they're not a part of the Swag brand, they can still say, yes, I was there. He's legit. The space is beautiful and what they have going on is something special.
And I learned this method from Swaggy, right?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think it's a pebble in the water. It's creating waves that go further than myself. Mm-hmm. That's what it's all about, I think.
So you spoke earlier this year, it was a big event that you went and you were a keynote speaker there.
Yeah. It was amazing. I went to an event put on by Seven Hair Care. That's mm-hmm. the brand that I'm tied to. And I was asked by them to speak at first on color and then it switched to haircut. This is my first opportunity to speak in front of a crowd this big. Mm. Unknowingly, there are so many things that come up in the process. Aside from everything happening in life, you begin to find that there's deeper wells within you that need to be discovered, that need to be dug deeper. And we're all becoming. You know what I mean? So 500 people, 40-minute segment. I'm not just teaching a haircut, but I'm also teaching the product line. Mm-hmm. 6 months prior to me joining this team is when I actually met the VP and we hit it off. It was good energy. She's amazing. Someone like I've never met before. And I really trusted that she could give me the support that I needed to be able to do the show. So I get up there and with all the preparation, which I think I'm going to circle back around to, it really gave me a clearer view of what I was actually doing. Mm. So initially I was thinking to myself, how am I going to go about being this entertaining, funny, solid educator? I'm putting labels on myself that's just literally putting pressure on my shoulders. Mm-hmm. I had to get rid of all that and start from scratch. So what I did first was I was working on an intro. And an amazing artist who I get to work with, I get to call him a friend, his name is Lin Fan. People know him as B-Scene on social media. I was able to meet with him and he said, hey, listen, what you need to do first is you need to have an intro. What's your intro? Go. And he would make me speak an intro that I didn't even have. And I'm constantly fumbling and I'm trying to get it together. And there was really nothing. So I had to go home and work on that. Finally got my intro down. I have my first class before the big show. And it's an 8-minute introduction. Super long. The VP says, I love your intro. It's super cool. It's very detailed. I need you to cut it down to like 30 seconds. So we went to the second class. I cut it down. Third class, cut it down. And then 2 months after that was the big show. On my way to work every single day. Hey, what's up, guys? My name's Reagan Kalakahi. And I was having to work on it at every single moment. I would record myself. I would listen to it over and over. And by the time I got to the show, I realized I had written down all this stuff about framework, about just having an introduction. And how do you go from an introduction to what you're going into? Mm-hmm. How do you tie that into your story? Because it's the story of what you're telling that really grabs the audience and really gets someone to want to pay attention. Mm-hmm. And circling all the way back around to chaos is there's so much story there. So I get to the point, I'm on stage, and I realize my framework helped. All the car time, saying my intro to myself, it all helped. One of the biggest factors, and maybe I think that you would probably do this as well if you're going to be speaking or doing something big, mm-hmm. is visualization.
Bingo. You said it. Yeah. I was like, that to me, verbalizing it, acting it out, it's just like an actor reading their script and memorizing it for when they put it into the movies. Mm-hmm.
They always say that the brain doesn't recognize a dream and a reality or an idea or a reality. So I started to play this film in my head of what I looked like, what I sounded like, how I flowed. And it all came through that day. I was backstage jumping around and I'm like, all right, I'm ready. But my main perspective behind all of it was I'm not here to look cool. I'm not here to have a title. I'm here to serve. And I just want one person in this entire crowd of 500 to actually take away from what I'm doing and go and implement it at home. And that took all the pressure off of me.
You put the intention out there too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Thank you.
Cool. What advice would you give somebody who is, maybe they've been cutting hair for a long time mm-hmm. or styling and they are at that point where they want to educate somebody else? You just said the same thing of, you need to turn it into reality by starting with the dream, connecting the dots, visualizing, embodying it. And it's interesting how you kept saying, I want to be this, this, and this. But at the same time, the intro could have just been like, how can I be myself? Not how can I be funny, smart, charismatic, all this.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I love that question because that's so much of where my head is right now. I want to say that if you're somebody who is in the industry, you have passions and desires to teach, or give those gifts that you know to someone who doesn't have them. Mm-hmm. I always look at the gifts as a meal, right? Can we find someone that's hungry? Absolutely. And there's people who are hungry for any type of knowledge right now. That's why social media and podcasts, everything is so big and we're so consumed because there's so much information. Mm-hmm. So how can you go and do that? A million ways. You can start off by putting yourself out there on social media saying, I'm teaching a free class. People love free. They see your work, they see what you're offering, bring them in, get the reps in. Mm-hmm. That way, when you step in front of a crowd who they're paying $700 to see you, you have a flow, you have a framework, you know how to direct the crowd, you know exactly what you're trying to get to them so yes. that they know that the value that they spent was greater than they would have gotten somewhere else.
Agreed.
Yeah.
And let's say somebody is interested in becoming a hairstylist. What advice would you give them? And I just think of even back to you being an apprentice and having so many people underneath you mm-hmm. as well. It's like, how can these people learn from you? Do you ask them about their why? I recently actually talked to somebody about this where they have a nutrition app. I have them coming on to another episode here soon where they're explaining that something happened to them personally, mm-hmm. and they had this whole nutrition setup that changed their dynamic with what they wanted. It is nutrition part of it, yes, but there's this whole other mental health aspect to this app that it changed the how are you going to get the what from that product. What do people want, right? Mm-hmm. The result is they want to probably physically change themselves, but because the why changed, it changed the how. Mm-hmm. I've always wondered, is do you have a method, do you have a how of where you teach, whether it's assistants, clients, people, right? And different forms of clients. How do you teach your clients, and how has that changed based off of how your why has changed?
Teaching my clients has to do with full on being hands on. Mm-hmm. You can teach them in minute segments per appointment, or, which is something that I'm excited about, we're putting together an opportunity, right? We're going to do the shadow program for stylists, but we're going to put together an opportunity for clients to come in, bring their tools, and learn how to style with their own blow dryers, brushes, irons.
I'm raising my hand right now because I'm like, thank you. I pay stupid money for hair that I don't style.
Yeah, and sometimes that's what it is. It's too much time commitment. It doesn't work for me. I'm getting creases in my hair. Am I damaging it? So this whole idea is really going to help the person know how to take care of it. They're going to know how to use multiple irons. They can purchase irons or brushes that may be a better fit for what their hair texture might be or what they're looking for. And then we can go from there and see if there's something advanced that we can put in the hands of the client. As for someone that I'm looking to teach, mm-hmm. that was a really big growth curve for me within the last few years, because I took on an assistant who has a different learning style than I do. Mm. For me, I've always learned by watching, even in sports. You show me how to run that ladder, I'm going to go do that, because I'm going to program in my mind how that's done. You're going to show me that highlight, I'm going to look at every single detailed step that you took, and then I'm going to realize that it's a big picture altogether. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to look through it later and see why you did that. So not everyone learns that way, right? Some people need, this is why I'm doing this, this is the reason why I did that, and this is the result you're going to get from it. Mm-hmm. So it's like two different type of methods, but both still needing to be learned, because we all learn just a little bit differently.
We all learn just a little bit differently. I like that.
Yeah.
You also mentioned visualization could be something that people can do to practice to better themselves. Mm-hmm. I'm a big application person where it comes down to you driving in the car and actually saying these things out loud. That yeah. goes beyond visualization. That is applying it and trying to actually speak it into the universe as well, is another thing.
Absolutely.
Form of manifestation.
Absolutely.
You also had your trial and error, which is what we were just talking about with doing hair, is you try something out, maybe it works, maybe it doesn't work. Thank goodness in the past it's worked yeah. for clients, right? And you're like, I could do better, but we're our own worst critics too. Totally. And when you have that moment of trial and error, it's still the same thing. People can apply, they can visualize, they can do this, they can learn the why, mm-hmm. but they still might, lack of better terms, fuck it up in their own way right. and learn from their mistakes, quote unquote, a mistake. But they could also put them into a new path. They could accidentally dye someone's hair purple and learn how to do different shades of purple all of a sudden.
1,000%.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like taking, you know, like the whole creation of the chocolate chip, right? Like
yes.
complete accident.
Yeah.
Like now people love it, but I think that's what it is. Yeah. You screw something up, or you have a hair hiccup and you realize, whoa, I just nailed this color, but that's not what she wanted. Mm-hmm. Noted. And I think that for me is a big thing.
And then just going back to the education piece, I would love to be somebody who gets to learn from you and be a part of
you
one of your workshops. Yeah. I love my hair. I think it's so pretty what you've done with it. And I'm like, I can't curl my hair. Like, I don't know how he does this. Like, I get frustrated with myself that the curls don't come out the same. You make it look so easy. But I also bet if I educated myself and spent an hour on a workshop, I could educate myself to make it look easy too.
1,000%.
Yeah.
1,000%. It's learning the ergonomics. It's learning how to use the tool. Mm-hmm. I'm sure I can go to the gym with you and you can show me something and be like, I did not know that's how you do that. Or understanding how to connect my mind to my muscles.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So it's the same thing. You're connecting your mind to your muscle with a tool. It doesn't really change from your workouts or your athletic ability to run and catch a ball.
I mean, that's evolution right there.
That's evolution right there. It's all the same stuff.
Man found tool.
Yeah, man found tool. Same thing. Moving stones, that's where we come from.
Now, speaking opportunities, I think back to Seven Hair Care. Mm-hmm. I've also gotten this question a lot with people for possible brand sponsorships or partnerships in general, or just having some sort of affiliation. How do you connect yourself? What made you pick Seven Hair Care, and what made you say, I trust this brand, I stick with this brand? Are there other brands like that, that you're like, this is my ride or die, or
yeah,
I'm evolving, or I want to learn from them so I can make my own hair care products? What is the end goal for you? Yeah,
totally. I've known about Seven for about 15 years now.
Mm-hmm.
They were a salon in Bellevue, Washington,
mm-hmm,
and they were at the mall. The salon that I started out at was just across the street and about two blocks up from there. And there was no affiliation. So it was, we do this, you guys do that. It was French, it was British. And we crossed paths. There wasn't a lot of community in the industry.
Yeah.
It was, we're better. On both ends, it was, we're better. When that whole opportunity came about, and I had no longer affiliated with the first salon, and Seven had went from a salon to a wet line styling product, shampoos, conditioners.
Mm-hmm.
I went to an event. So number one, if you want to be a part of some type of brand, they're always meeting, they're always posting. You have to let them know that you're there.
Mm-hmm.
You have to get their attention. If what you're doing on social isn't gathering the attention of the brands, then you need to look deep and wonder, do I need to change something? Do I need to get better? Is it as clean? Is it marketable? Can it sell?
Mm-hmm.
All those things come together when you're looking at brands, because followers have leverage,
mm-hmm,
with brands, right? Because if I have 500,000 followers and I post about this mug or I post about these shoes, then that brand's gonna get eyeballs. But at the end of the day, brands also want sales. So having a high number probably gets you a higher probability of people that see a product, like that product, buy it. When you are coming into social and you're branding and you're wanting to create a clean, sellable brand, self-brand, then a brand can see that and say, okay, we can gain some sales because look at how this person talks about this.
Mm-hmm.
Look at that delivery rate. What are their numbers? And I think when a brand gets interested, they're going to ask you. But I still think that it's showing up. So I went to an event. I met the VP. There were five or six other companies there. One of them was a color line, Schwarzkopf, a Bonder line, K18. You had a sheer line, Hanzo. And you had Seven. I think there was one more that I can't remember, but I went to the Seven counter and I happened to know people that work in their office, and they said, hey, not sure if you remember me. I used to be your counselor at beauty school. And I'm like, yes, of course. I know who you are. Well, we're going to be at the event that you're going to. Connect with the VP. We touched base, connected. And from there, it was just like back and forth DMs. Hey, what's up? We're going to send you a box. Try it out. Let us know how you like it. It was a trickle and a follow up. From there, it was, have you ever thought about being an educator? That's why you were at the event, because it was an educator's event. And I said, yes, of course. And from there, they were like, let's set something up. I said, cool, what's it going to be? We're going to have you teach us how to do a cut and a style on Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
Like, cool. I was so nervous. There's something about speaking on Zoom when the other person isn't responding and you're like, I'm totally screwing this up. And then you go way past and you do all the extra things. You do everything except yourself.
I was like, it sounds like a solo podcast episode. You're like wanting to engage and talk with somebody, knowing that no one's responding.
Yeah. You do everything except yourself. And we did three Zooms and then we did three live classes. So Zoom number two was, tell us how to use these products, products that I've never used. Here's a sheet, study them, get to know them. So I'm like, I have a week to do this. So how am I going to get to know these products?
Yeah. Right? Bring in the models.
And that's what I thought. But I decided, hey, I've got some hair.
Yeah.
So I was trying to overuse them because I wanted to see, is this heat protection with all this moisture in it going to be too much?
Mm-hmm.
How much is it going to take for me to have hair that feels way down? is this spray wax that I'm using going to tangle me up? Is it going to be great for flyaways? How much is this going to take to weigh me down? Because that's everyone's biggest thing with product,
mm-hmm.
is it going to make me look greasy? Is it going to weigh me down? And if I can have the confidence to look in that and say, it's not going to do that, that's going to be your trust.
Also to hear the rapport of, I tried this on myself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So many people will say, oh yeah, I saw so-and-so did this, or I tried this on them and it worked. But when you say the word myself, it transitions into a different level of connection for the person to be like, oh, I can see myself doing that too.
Right. With products that you use,
mm-hmm.
trying them on yourself. For instance, let's take First Form.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen them around. Love Andy Frisella. I love their brand. But from your perspective, when you use it, you can tell more people about it, especially on a relational basis,
mm-hmm.
than the ad can, because I can come to you, do I need an answer for what you've experienced personally? And that's going to get me to buy it.
Yes, that's so true. I know myself to you. Clients are asking me, what supplements should I take?
Mm-hmm.
I have no understanding of what does what for my body.
Right.
And I do the same thing with you. Just tell me what products to get, because I just don't know what does what for my hair.
Totally, totally. And that's the thing that we see, and that's what gravitates us to a certain thing.
Yes.
It's not even the brand. It's the person. It's the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're using First Form and I know you and I trust you and I see your results, I'm going to say, I think I can do that too.
Yes.
Right? That's going to work for me as well. And if I have any questions about it, I know the person I can go to. I don't have to call the hotline. You know?
So true. And just to wrap this in, you know, put a nice little pretty bow on it.
Yeah.
Is for anyone out there that is wanting to take their business to the next level,
mm-hmm.
and isn't sure how to show up, what would be your advice for them as to how they can? Because you just said those Zooms made you anybody but yourself, right? And people are going to throw opportunities at us. And I just read something on social media. The opportunity wouldn't be there if you weren't ready.
Mm-hmm.
The calling wouldn't have happened. You wouldn't hear the voices in your head telling you this is where you need to be,
right.
if you weren't ready. And so knowing that in itself is like, hey, you're ready. You have this. But you also need to put in the practice and the work to make
mm-hmm.
it feel that you are competent, which means that you're confident in that respect. And then you have the clarity with that too.
Mm-hmm.
So you right here are practicing, the words are clear. And that's when you had mentioned is your biggest fault, quote unquote, right? Is that you want to do something 10 times, film it 10 times in a row, even though had you done it the first time, it probably came out the same. And I think of it, the only time where I re-record something is if it's speaking and it doesn't sound like I do clearly understand, like the flow's not coming out of my mouth perfectly
mm-hmm.
or the way that I want to get the message across. When the message is clear, I can re-record it, put it back in. It might take like 4 or 5 takes to do that. So for anybody who is saying, how do I show up? What are the tools to get me to be my most confident self?
Mm-hmm.
Is probably practicing. And
Absolutely.
Then what else would you put in there?
I think getting on social media,
mm-hmm.
you critique yourself the hardest.
Mm-hmm.
So I think first and foremost, you have to take action. Number one, you have to get used to seeing yourself on that screen. Number two, it's understanding your inner dialogue. It's how you talk to yourself and how you talk about yourself. And if you can have that inner dialogue that says, I'm great, I bring value to the table, I know that I'm sharing something that someone else can use, then all the smoke and mirrors of your judgment of how you look or what you're putting out there goes away.
100%, yes.
Yeah.
And last two questions that I love to wrap up on.
Yes.
I talk about the waves of life, and you are a surfer.
Love this. I love where this is going.
I actually don't see you get emotional in your business, but I can already sense you are a very emotional person.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, I've met you and your wife a couple times throughout the last year, but I can also feel how you talk about your wife, which so cool. You guys are high school sweethearts.
Yeah.
I think that's the most amazing thing. It's a rare beauty to find. But how do you handle the emotions in your life, and meaning the waves? And how do you handle the things that you can control? And the second question is, how do you handle the things you can't control?
Love that. Mm. Are you okay if I use a complete surf analogy?
Please.
Okay. I use a lot of analogies because it just makes the most sense for me.
Mm-hmm.
But as a surfer, you have to have the right tools to start out.
Mm-hmm.
But when you begin that journey and you're paddling out, you're going to face some turbulent things.
Mm-hmm.
And that to me is always the beginning. You got to get to a point where the waters are calm and you can actually gain a perspective of where you need to be to get on a wave,
mm-hmm.
right? And the wave is momentum, and that momentum is going to carry you, and you can have the fun on it. You can see something that a lot of other people don't get to see. So you're going to paddle out. You're going to face some turbulent things. You're going to learn a lot. You're going to learn a lot about yourself more than anything, because it's going to test you. It's going to test your mental toughness, and you're going to have to find a way to get out to the outside where the other people are that are doing something that you want to do. And that is like a complete personal growth journey. Once you catch the wave, you're learning a different part of that journey. You're learning how to have fun with it, how to breathe with it, and really take in those sometimes few seconds. But it can feel like an eternity of joy and life. And then you kind of come back around to do it all over again. So I think that taking the steps in the right direction, having the right tools, but also not being afraid to give it a shot. And if you fail, just do it again.
If you fail, just do it again.
Mm-hmm.
We forget that part a lot.
We forget that part.
I just literally pictured myself out in the water right now as you're explaining this. And I also recognize that you don't just surf past the waves, right?
Mm-hmm.
You also start to get to a point where you're confident enough to feel them, sense them, like you mentioned the momentum,
yes.
And you chase after them.
Yeah.
So you'll see where the people are going and you want to do what those other people are doing. So you'll go with the flow of the people
mm-hmm.
and find the peak of that wave and get yourself into it to start riding.
Absolutely.
That's a great analogy.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you for being on the show.
I'm honored. We've been watching you for a long time, and to see your momentum, because it's very evident on social media, and of course whenever we meet up, your energy is always high, and I can always tell that you're doing things that you love and you're pushing your growth. So it's been an honor to be on here. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Reagan.
Thank you for joining me on another episode as we learned and explored all things movement, mindset, and medicine. As always, my goal for each episode of this podcast is to share innovative tools and techniques to help you thrive and find stability with your overall health and personal development, alongside the growth of the world around us. Please share this with someone you know will benefit from this episode, as well as rate and review. This helps us reach more people and provide feedback as to how we can better help each of you. Make sure to check out our community website, www.mermaidmethod.com, to learn more about our upcoming events, eco-friendly products, and coaching programs. Now let's make massive waves together.